This month's guest has wasted little time making the most of his growing career. It hasn't been that long since he was literally living out of his car on the streets of Nashville. His debut single shot to number one in November of 2018. His second single also went to number one. And as I put this podcast together in December of 2021, his third single with Brad Paisley has cracked the top 10. He's also won awards, done TV shows, written a children's book, started a production company, all while reminding anybody who brings it up that country music isn't, never has been, nor ever will be, a space reserved for white artists only. I'm Tom Maley, and this is Write You a Song. I think the lengths that it took to set up this interview is a good way to introduce you to who Jimmy Allen really is at his heart. It took almost 6 months before we were able to connect. Once I managed to pin him down while he was en route to a concert right after one of his appearances on Dancing with the Stars. It was going great until he hit a bad cell area and our next chance didn't come along for another month. That he never gave up on doing this interview, though, which is such a minor thing in his life, says a lot about who he is. And that drive, that thing that keeps him daring to dream some really big, challenging dreams while still making sure to connect with some schlep DJ with a podcast, I think it can all be traced back to challenges Jimmy first had to face as a young kid and the people who helped him overcome those challenges. You put that kind of experience together with real talent as a singer and a songwriter, and man, you've got something special. Jimmy Allen, now on Write You a Song. Hi, Jimmy.
How you doing?
Doing great. I'm so glad to finally get a chance to talk to you. This podcast, we've talked to songwriters with 40 years experience in the business. We've talked with songwriters who are right on the cusp. And it's cool to talk to you because you're unique in that you're a singer-songwriter. We've only had a few of those on here. But you're still at very much the front end of your career. And you've got a lot of exciting years left in this business, I'm sure. And the first thing I want to do is just kind of get a little background on what got you into songwriting. Your story is so interesting. Definitely want to share it with folks. You were a stutterer when you were young.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, and even now sometimes I still do, but I stuttered real bad until I was about 20.
Was that an issue growing up with the kids that you grew up with?
Yeah. You know, when you're not kids are, man. You know, when you're a kid, you don't quite understand how kids are. But then you become an adult and you kind of look back and, you know, you kind of understand, like, okay, yeah, this is what kids do. But, yeah, it was an issue for a while, you know, but kind of just learned to live with it and just say, okay, you know, this is who I am. This is a part of me. So I just got to deal with it.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because you had, from what I understand, a speech therapist was one of the first people to suggest, hey, why don't you try writing and singing and see if that is kind of a workaround. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, she had me start like kind of just like writing down what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And then instead of talking it, she had me sing it.
And how old were you when you were going through that?
I was like 7, 8.
Okay.
Because my dad stuttered real bad.
Okay.
My brother stuttered. My son stutters real bad now. So it's kind of just a thing.
Mm-hmm. But when you started to write things down and to sing, did you notice, like, right away when you're 8 or 9, were you cognizant that, hey, this is actually helping me? This is giving me a different way to express myself?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I knew right away, like, that is what helped me. You know, like, just kind of get across what I wanted to say without any, per se, I guess, interruptions, you know, from myself. So then it turned into writing down what I wanted to say in conversation to just writing down what I just wanted to say anyway.
You have a
just kind of like how I felt that day, you know what I mean? So that's why I kind of really got into it. It became more like a journaling thing over songwriting at first.
And then you said that you could, you felt like you were able to create sort of a whole world on a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah. You could be anyone, anywhere, you know, at any time. And that was a cool thing for me about, you know, writing when I was a kid.
All right. So we have where the writing came from, the singing. When you were 7 or 8 and this speech therapist is telling you to sing your thoughts, were you into music at that time, did you have any idea that you could sing? Do you come from a musical background?
Yes, I used to sing in church with my mom and my sisters and stuff. And
okay.
I always liked it. For me, it was more the entertainment side than singing. My speech therapist used to have me just sing the first three words of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And then I would kind of just go from there.
And then when did the two marry each other into, hey, I might be able to do this for a living?
Probably when I was like 15, about 15, 16.
Okay.
It kind of switched over.
And your dad was a big country music fan, yes?
Yeah, my dad's a huge country music fan. Like, that's all he listens to. It's all like, literally, if you try to change the channel to anything else, you get in trouble.
So did you know early on that country was what you wanted to do, or did you lean more kind of pop and, I don't know, what were you into?
Honestly, everything. You know, my dad just listened to country, my brother listened to, like, heavy metal and R&B, and my mom was listening to just Christian. So I was kind of all over the place. I was at the time, I just loved music. And then the older I got, you know, you start to realize the type of person you are and what you're into and what style of music fits who you are as a person.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Did you just kind of realize that this fits me? It's like a jacket. It just fit you?
Yeah, it just fit me. Like, you know, from, you know, the type of person I was, how I grew up, what my interests were. You know, for me, that's what kind of, you know, I feel like for a lot of country artists really sets it apart. It's kind of like who you are as a person.
What did your folks think when you finally decided I got to give Nashville a shot?
They were all about it. They were like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Get out there and get it done. And they was always super supportive about the whole music journey.
They saw your creativity early on and they recognized your talent.
Oh, yeah. Especially like my mom, you know, she had bought me. I started playing the drums and stuff like that. So she was like, okay, this is what you want to do. We should make this happen.
When you went to Nashville, were you intent on being a singer-songwriter from the get-go? Or did you go there with the idea that, well, maybe I'll songwrite my way into the industry and then see what happens? What was your initial plan? And has it kind of panned out the way that you planned it?
Yeah, for me, ever since the beginning, you know, the whole performer aspect was there for me for sure. You know, I wanted to do it all. I wanted to write. I wanted to perform. I wanted to entertain. So it's kind of like a package deal for me, kind of doing everything.
Who did you look up to at that time? Who did you point to and say, I want to be like him?
I think it was a mix between a bunch of people. You know, you had the people that was really influential in my career would be, you know, of course, Charlie Pride, Rob Thomas, you know, Keith Urban. I was a huge Tim McGraw fan. Of course, just Garth Brooks, one of the best entertainers ever. Aaron Tippett, you know, Prince, Stevie Wonder. I was kind of all over the place wanting to pull something from each one of those artists and kind of make it me.
Your mom raised you to be blunt, I read in an interview. Does that help you as a songwriter?
It does, because songwriting for me is about being honest, not hiding any of your feelings. Anything you feel, just letting it out, you know? So, and the only way to do that is just be honest, be blunt, especially when you're writing the paper.
When you first started writing, like, how would you compare what you know now to what you knew even 4 or 5 years ago when you were kind of getting the ball rolling? Is it a constant learning process?
Yeah, I'm working every day. I feel like the whole thing about songwriting is, you know, how we continue to grow as people, you do that as well as songwriting and like entertaining and performing. So it's like your story changes, how you word what you say changes, you know, what you want to say changes, you know, kind of the older you get and the more you do it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is interesting about you is you're obviously a sensitive person. You can't be an artist and not be sensitive. And yet you know exactly what you want and you're not afraid to kind of go through doors to get it, even though there's a lot of rejection involved. And there's a quote that you have where, and forgive me if I don't have it exactly right, but you talk to people who say, well, I want to be a songwriter, but I'm not that good at networking. I don't talk with higher ups real well. And here's your mom's bluntness. You're like, well, then you don't want to be a songwriter. Talk a little bit about that and that drive and determination and how that has served you. Because I think it's really important, not only for people who want to get into the, you know, creative industries, but just about damn near anything.
You know, and that's my thing. You know, my mom was like that, and also my dad. It's like, you want to do certain things in life. There's going to be some times where you got to do stuff you don't want to do. And that's just the game you got to play, kind of roles you got to play. And you know, we come from the type of family, if there's something you want to do, you got to do it, even the stuff you don't want to do, because there's two choices in life. We don't believe in gray areas. You either do it or you don't do it. If you don't do whatever it takes to get where you want to go, that means you didn't really want to go there, you know? We come from the whole no-excuse type family.
What gave you the confidence, because I'm sure you heard no a lot, what gave you that inner confidence to know, okay, they didn't like it, but I know this is good, and I'm going to keep plowing ahead?
It's more about self-insurance, you know? You don't, it's the reason why they call it self-esteem, because it's how you feel about yourself, not other people. The way other people feel about you or what you do should never affect what you do, because it's called self-esteem, not other people's esteem. So you just got to be confident and kind of, you know what I mean? I don't really get too wrapped up. I don't get too wrapped up in what other people think, you know, because not everybody's going to like everything, and that's fine. But you just keep doing what you're doing until you find someone that likes it and someone that supports it and someone that's really, you know, ready to get in there deep and just give you everything you need and what you're doing.
You have like just a diverse range of interests. You know, you've done Dancing with the Stars and you're working on movie production and you've dabbled in so many things and you talk about the different goals that you have. But still, for you, it all comes back to songwriting, singing, and performing. How do you make sure that that stays the main focus for you?
It's all about just kind of having a plan. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you can be spontaneous and you can, you know, do things on the whim, but kind of still have a plan. You know what I mean? As far as, okay, hey, I want to do TV here. I want to do this here. But it's all kind of marketing to pull people back to the music. Mm-hmm. And the music is a marketing plan to pull people into whatever else you're doing. So they kind of cross-pollinate.
Now, before I ask you about some of your songs and get the stories behind them, and then we'll wrap up the interview, I do want to know, because you are so busy and you're constantly being pulled in different directions. In fact, we got to keep this interview kind of short because as we talk, you're in the middle of Dancing with the Stars and you got to go rehearse. What do you do to refill your creative tank? Because you do have to kind of unplug every now and then. We all do.
Well, for me, I kind of replug by just relaxing, watching television. I watch a lot of movies, a lot of TV, any chance I can. And believe it or not, Disney World, man, I go there a lot. For me, it kind of recenters me.
Let me ask you, Disney is so incredibly creative. Does that spark your creative juices a little bit, just seeing how they put everything together?
Yeah, kind of how those Imagineers work, mm-hmm, and kind of do everything. It's freaking amazing. And just the vibes and just the people and just the overall feeling, you know. For me, a lot of people, you know, it's work for them. But for me, I'll go there sometimes on the ride, just hang out and just be in it, you know.
Just be. That's why you and Matt get along so well.
Oh yeah, Matt's my guy, man. We both love Disney and casinos.
Disney and casinos. Matt's a guy who used to work with us at our radio station, and now he's one of the people that works with Jimmy. All right, Jim, I want to just ask you, I'm going to give you a title of a few songs, and just give us kind of the background, maybe where the inspiration came from, or if there's a particular story behind it, all right?
All right, sounds good.
First of all, let's start with Warrior.
That song I wrote with Ash Bowers and Casey Bethard, and I just kind of wanted to write a story about, you know, kind of how strong my mom is, how strong my grandmom was, you know, and it's something that people can use to apply to strong women in their life, you know, whether it's a friend, a teacher, a wife, a daughter, an auntie, it doesn't even matter.
What'd your mom think the first time she heard it?
Oh, she loved it. She cried the first time she heard it, and the second time, and the third time.
She's tougher than she looks. Her heart has a strong right hook for all the hard times we went through. There's nothing she wouldn't do. for me and my baby sister. And that woman in that picture ain't just a woman in that picture. That's my mama, and I call her a warrior, a fighter, a get back up, I'll never say die, or keep on getting stronger. A hang. And full keys, but no doubt that's where my mama gets it. That blood in my mama's veins, she reminds me that it came from the other woman in that picture. That's my grandma, and I call her a warrior, a fighter, a get back up, I'll never say die, or keep on getting stronger. Steps forward, a warrior.
Freedom is a highway. You're hit with Brad Paisley.
I actually wrote it, you know, thinking about the streets I grew up on driving down in Delaware, you know, when life was simple. You know what I mean? The hardest decision you had to make was what kind of cereal you wanted to eat that morning. Mm-hmm. So when I was writing it, I could literally picture my favorite places in Delaware.
You got a Saturday, you're 17 years old, you got the whole day, where are you going?
17, had a Saturday. In the morning, going fishing. That happens first, you know, and then go home, eat. We might take the Jeep down on the beach, our favorite restaurant on the beach, hang out, hit some arcades. We would do that a lot. And it depends on the day. If it was raining, we'd go find some wood somewhere and shoot guns and go mud.
Sunset through a windshield, I can see it now, like a picture in a frame. Oh. Blue jeans and t-shirts, who we wore it like a name. I wish I could go back to those days when the town was the whole world and love was the next door, a soundtrack with a song in the dark. I miss those days when my dreams were there for chasing. The time was better wasted. We were summer young and living for a Friday. And freedom was a highway. Freedom was a highway. Barbed wire on a fence post with a crosswind on a road. With our hands up, just singing along to a hip-hop song. I wish I could rewind and replay when the town was the whole world and love was the girl next door. Soundtrack was
talk about, there's a story that goes into your amazing collaboration with Darius Rucker and Charlie Pride, Why Things Happen. But before that song became the song that the three of you recorded, you had another song in mind.
Yeah, so I had another song I wanted to do with Darius and Charlie, and it was a cool song, but Darius was like, man, we can't do our first song together with Charlie Pride be a drinking song. You know what I mean? He said, it's got to be, you know, a feel-good, it's got to be a song that, like, means something, you know, it has some weight to it.
You'll never know when your last breath's gonna fade like a July sunset. Oh, how a tragedy like gravity holds you still while the world keeps spinning. It's hard not to question circumstances that leave you with nothing to say. Is there some kind of message, some kind of lesson? Damn, life's hard to explain.
Oh, God, tell me why things happen like they do. Leave you thinking about how.
the memory of somebody's brother.
You try not to question God in his judgment, but damn it, I don't understand. Somebody tell me why.
And that song has a lot of weight to it, which brings me to, race is a part of your story. How much does that factor into your day-to-day, and what sort of responsibility do you feel carrying the torch of a Charlie Pride or a Darius?
You know, I definitely feel like, you know, I have to, you know, continue to build on what, you know, he started. You know what I mean? Just as far as representation. Because representation is the big thing. You know what I mean? And I feel no matter the genre of music, no matter your skin color, everyone should feel like they have a home there. That's where they want to be.
Does it frustrate you? I know you're a student of music too, and country and blues and black Southern music are really more deeply connected than I think a lot of people realize. I mean, the roots are absolutely intertwined.
That's where it came from. You know, yeah. Country started from the blues. When country was developed as a genre in the 1920s, they purposely had D4 Bailey. D4 Bailey is the first black opera member, the harmonica player, to play blues-sounding riffs over country songs. That way to give people something familiar when they were trying to introduce them to this new genre. Like I tell you all the time, when in doubt, just focus on the music. You know, country music is the only genre where you mention a song and you mention the skin color of the artist if they're not white. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No other genre does that. So yeah. If you just focus on the music, play what you play, then you're good, you know, because it's like, even now sometimes you have to, when I first moved to Nashville, I had to prove how country I was. But you could take a white guy, right, put a cowboy hat on him, won't nobody say nothing. But a black guy, we get asked questions like, so what got you in the country? And the reason why people say that is because they assume because I'm black, I shouldn't listen to country. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I've asked multiple white artists, have y'all ever been asked the question, what got you in the country music? And they all have said no. Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't get asked that. But they just assume it. And then the same thing with, like, you put a cowboy hat on somebody and they're white, no questions. And if I wear boots, why are you wearing boots? Da, 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 you know, and then half the people that wear cowboy hats ain't a cowboy. Never wrote cattle a day in their life. But yet it's never questioned. You know, a cowboy hat in country music is just like a chain in hip hop. It's a prop.
Right.
It's just what they wear. And it has nothing to do with them actually being a cowboy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my thing is, if a white guy's able to wear a cowboy hat, nobody say nothing. Same thing when a black guy puts a cowboy hat on, shut the hell up. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it.
Yep. And that brings me to the next song I want to ask you about, All Tractors Ain't Green.
That song right there is my jam. It's about just saying, you know, there's different ways to do the same thing. You know, just because a tractor isn't green doesn't mean it's not a tractor. It doesn't take away from its capability
right. To
do what needs to be done.
I learned back when I was young, be who you are and know where you're from. We ain't gotta be just alike. Not everything is black or white. All guitars don't sound the same. Can't judge whiskey by the bottle. Might go against the grain of that country boy motto. Sometimes what you get ain't always what you see. All fields ain't corn and all tractors ain't green. Kind of like the cover and the book. I might sound a little different than I look. And I ain't afraid of standing out. And after all these years, yeah, I know now that all guitars don't sound the same. Can't judge whiskey by the bottle. Might go against the grain of that country boy mind.
same thing with whether it's country music or rock music or pop or being a teacher, being a police officer. It doesn't matter. You know, police officers and all these things come in different shapes, different colors, different genders, different ages. Doesn't matter, but it doesn't take away from their ability to do the job they need to be done.
You mentioned earlier that Tim McGraw is an idol of yours, and you got to do Made for These. Talk a little bit about that song and just what it was like to be able to work with somebody that you grew up admiring.
Well, it was great being able to work with Tim. I wrote that song just about, you know, just my journey in music, you know what I mean? Just realizing that the hard times prepare you for the success. You know, it helps toughen your skin. And I reached out to Tim and asked him if he wanted to do it. I took him a song and he said, dude, let's do it. You know, so Tim was great. You know, we got a chance to talk about the record and he killed it. You know, he sung his butt off.
Timing isn't always right, yeah. No matter how bad you want it to be, your faith is shaking. Testing all your patience. When you hit the bottom, don't forget to breathe. And all of those times you get up for the letdown, remember to tell yourself, forever isn't right now. When you lose it all, shattered by the fall, like the long way, let it make you stronger and fight a little harder. When you get to where you're going, then you'll see those days were made for these.
Time is get it right, yeah. We'll never see it coming like the wind. Dreams have a funny way of coming true, yeah. When your hope is running out and wearing thin. All of those times you get up for the letdown. A little harder. When you get to where you're going, then you'll see those days were made for me.
So he actually did the vocal on his own because we did that during quarantine.
Oh, okay.
But so when I got the vocal back, I was like, jeez, Tim McGraw is singing words I wrote.
All right, two more songs. Your two biggest hits so far, Make Me Want To.
Make Me Want To. I just wanted to write that song from a perspective of, you know, a guy catching feelings first.
Long legs, cut off jeans, pulling me in like a magnet. Your eyes locked on me. I knew right then I had to have you. Right here in the middle of the floor, this hole in a wall on a back street. I knew I had to get close to you. Girl, what's your name? What you drinking? Yeah, what's your favorite song? If you're thinking what I'm thinking, we ain't gonna be in this bar too long. We'll be sneaking on out to your car, stealing kisses out there in the dark. Yeah, it might be too soon to say I love you, but you're gonna make me want to.
And Best Shot.
Best Shot, I actually wrote, you ever heard of a TV show, One Tree Hill?
Yeah.
I wrote that song based off two characters from that show, Nathan and Haley, just about their whole relationship.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it because you were a fan of their relationship and rooting for it, or was there just something creatively that sparked watching their characters interact?
I was a fan of the show, a huge fan of that show, and then just watching their characters interact. And I was actually rewatching it when I had that write about to go write that day. I just watched an episode where it had a little super like deep emotional part in their relationship. So I kind of just took the song from there.
Wow. You never know where inspiration is going to come from.
Dude, never. Inspiration comes from everywhere.
Your radar is always up.
You got to keep it up, because you never know when the universe is going to give you something that you can turn into art.
I'm just flesh and bone, heart and soul, and I've earned a couple scars. I've lived once in a lifetime kind of things slide right out of my arms. I struck out, I've been knocked down more times than I can count. But that don't matter now, cause when you smile, I see the sun sink down on the coast out in California. And there's no doubt, because of you, I'm not the man I was before you. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, though, cause girl, you know I'm not. But I'll love you with everything I got. Girl, I'll give you my best shots.
Jimmy, thank you very much. I'm so glad we finally connected. I know you got to go. I appreciate you giving me the time. Good luck with your future. Can't wait to see how high your star rises in the sky.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That'll do it for Write You a Song, and thank you again to Jimmy Allen for never giving up on this interview, and thank you for never giving up on this podcast. I think we've got 33 or 34 episodes now. If you're new to the podcast, please go back through the archives. If you're a fan of this podcast, please share it across your social media platforms, give it a review, and if you have any thoughts about it, good, bad, indifferent, I'd love to hear from you. My email is simply tmailey, M-A-I-L-E-Y, at bonneville.com. That's B-O-N-N-E-V-I-L-L-E.com. They're our parent company, and they help bring the podcast to you. Next month, we're going to talk to a guy whose songwriting career in Nashville is really just getting started, but man, did he hit the bullseye with one of his first co-writes.
Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top two. Two straws, one shot, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Squeaking in the truck bed all the way home.
He's also got some songs of his own with his Americana roots country band Green River Ordnance, Josh Jenkins. Next time on Write You a Song.
To impress, my girl is happy, rolling on a Vespa. Don't need no mansion to get romance. She's super fine, double wide, slow dancing. But if